Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome into Attacking Third, brought to you by CarMax, the way car buying should be. Darian Jenkins, Lisa Carlin, and Jenny Chu here for you today.
For all of us.
How was your guys' weekend? It's a good Monday, Darian.
It is. Is it Monday? I don't even know. I feel like all I've done is eat, sleep, and breathe women's soccer, which I'm here for.
Are you complaining at that point?
We have great lives. We just get to watch soccer, talk about my friends all day. This is great.
And despite being inside, it's sunny out in Connecticut today, Jenny. It's a beautiful thing. The sun is shining. It's getting warmer. Summer is hopefully like around the corner.
Don't jinx us.
Try it.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
Beautiful. You know, I watched Scoreline all weekend. Didn't see the sun once. Thank you, Lisa. I've been in the studio for like the last 72 hours, but I love it. I've covered so much football in the last few days. This is basically my house now. I shower here. What's up? All right, guys, we have a big show for you today as we talk the Women's Champions League semifinals. We'll be recapping the NWSL's weekend action and take a look at the heated race for the WSL title. But before we get to that, there is some breaking news today as the Orlando Pride announced that Luana has been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. The midfielder has been placed on the season-ending injury list and is set to immediately begin chemotherapy. All of us here at Attacking Third and CBS wish her well. We turn to international retirements, where Sinead Farley has announced a retirement from the Ireland national team. Farley played in all three of Ireland's group stage matches in the 2023 Women's Champions League. And when we speak about World Cups and people who have played in World Cups, let's talk about Marta, likely the most recognizable name. She announced that this will be her last year playing for the Brazilian women's national team, which means that the Olympics could be her last major tournament. Darian, I want to talk to you about this because I know that she was one of your teammates. Is she getting picked for this Olympic roster? We saw her in the She Believes Cup, but not in the W Gold Cup roster. So what are you thinking? Arthur Elias picking her for this?
Without a doubt, she has to go. Even if she's not on the field, being as such an integral player that's playmaking and taking shots and setting people up, the leadership that she brings, just knowing that the legendary Marta is on your team, I think is enough to bring her. We've seen other coaches do this where they bring players kind of on their way out or have announced their retirement to major tournaments because it also gives them something more to fight for. We've seen it with many teams before, Gotham and Seattle both making it to the final in the NWSL, bringing Pino and Krieger, that being their motivation to get the dub. How do you not with Brazil and Marta? I think I would be absolutely shocked if she didn't make it because she's still so effective. She's still one of the best players in the world. And just that extra motivation that she brings and that fight and like the chills when she does get up and speak or she does press conferences is unmatched. That's going to give them such an extra level. So she has to go.
Do you think she'll be on the 18 versus just there?
Yeah, I do.
Interesting. I don't know if she'll make the 18. I really don't. The talent and the skill, I think having Marta there is influential enough, but 18 is just such a small number. And for Brazil trying to take those steps forwards and the fact that she wasn't on the roster for the W Gold Cup makes me think that they are trying to move forward without her. But you do need her leadership and her presence. So I expect her to be there, but I don't think she'll be on the 18.
But not play? Like as an alternate, you're saying?
I think she'll be as an alternate.
I don't know. I don't even think she would like that because of what a competitor she is.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's worth a return to the conversation when these Olympic rosters are made. So I just want to say, six-time FIFA Best Player of the Year. We know what this woman has brought to the game, but at what point does Brazil start to move on from that? And we see how the team kind of moves forward. We'll see whether or not, you know, she's going to be on this roster or not. We have some different takes here.
What do you think?
Oh, I knew this was coming. I think you make a great point that she has to be there just as like the team, you know, around her aspect.
Yeah, the camaraderie.
But you're not wrong that it is kind of time for them to bring in a new era. I think you take her. Absolutely. Let's go to the other news in in WSL news. Lauren Hemp has signed a new deal with Manchester City that extends her stay with the Citizens for 3 more years. There were reports that she was gaining interest from Barcelona. So the fact that Manchester City has renewed her, how massive is she for this team? Lisa, especially huge, because Bunny Shaw just got injured. I think she has 39 goals in 31 assists as well. I mean, she's massive for them.
Hemp is such a key part of the way Manchester City want to play, whether she's in the starting lineup, which she mostly is, and her influence on this pitch. She is just such a key figure for them. And I actually think it's a really good move for her personally. Because of those talks and rumors of going to Barcelona, the Super League is more competitive than the domestic league in Spain. And for her to continue to get more opportunities, and she even talked about that, how for her, she wants to take her game to the next level, and she only thinks she can do that in the Super League. So it's great that she's staying there and staying with the consistency at Manchester City and fighting for a Super League title this year.
I'm kind of bummed we're not getting her in the NWSL. I was hoping that might be a rumor because I think she would actually thrive here, but I agree, it makes complete sense to stay at City, getting those points, being ultra competitive, and she's a really gritty player. I think that City would be remiss if they didn't opt to re-sign her, so I'm glad that she did, because I think she makes this team, she gives them a little bit more of an edge and a bite, and she's not afraid of doing the dirty work, mm-hmm, especially being a forward. So this is huge for them, and I'm happy she's staying. Good for her.
Oh, that's great. I just got a correction in my ear. 65 goals and 157 appearances for Manchester City. I'm not sure where I got my other stat from. That is on me. I am so sorry. Let's go over to Serie A Femminile, where Roma clinched their second Scudetto. The only team that could have played spoilers for this was Juve, but Inter's 2-0 victory over Juventus sees the Giallorosse mathematically clinch the title. Darian, I'm coming to you because you have played with some of these Roma players before. You're aware of how they've been crushing the competition. They have such a bright future, this Roma side.
100%. This is a really gritty team. They don't always win in the prettiest way. They're not playing the most attractive football, but they're gonna fight. And this is a difficult team to play against. We saw it in Champions League. And we were all kind of rooting for them because they play like the underdog and they have that bite. I'm happy that they got this. It's very well deserved. They have leaders like Giacinti, Lenari, Evelyn Vienne, who we got to interview on the podcast, is so impressive. 8 goals, 2 assists, 1 goal in Champions League. I think this team is just going to keep developing on and on, and we're seeing them finally get the accolades that I think is going to push them to be maybe a better of a Champions League contender in the coming years.
Yeah, moving forward, I mean, you mentioned, hey, what's next for them? They've won this now twice. They need to make a push in Champions League. And this year, they had a good opportunity to do that with the form that Roma was in. And defensively, they only conceded 13 goals in their domestic play. That's really good. You need to be able to do that in Champions League. But they weren't put into the group of death. They were with Ajax, PSG, and Bayern. They didn't even stand a chance to get out of that. But that's the next step for Roma. Continue to do well in league play and take your game in the Champions League to the next level. Get out of the group stage.
Ladies, we are spot on. Great stuff from Roma. We're going to see a bright future. Yes, what is next for them? Love that you pushed that forward, Lisa. Crystal Palace have been promoted to the WSL after winning the championship title on the last match day, thanks to a draw with Sunderland. A record 6,700 people were in attendance for the match, and this is going to be their first ever time in the WSL. And on that topic, the WSL announced that a record 1 million fans have attended matches over the course of the season. But let's go ahead and get back to this Crystal Palace promotion, Lisa, because
look at this.
Yes.
It's so exciting. I mean, a mosh pit celebration once you get promoted. Who doesn't want to smile and celebrate at that? Yeah. It was a little anticlimactic how it happened with a scoreless draw on the final day. However, they still get promoted for the first time. That is incredible for them. They're without Elise Hughes, though, who tore her ACL in this season, which I think is going to... That's a downfall, right? As bright and as positive as this is for Crystal Palace, they're without one of their big superstar players. However, it's going to make for a fun Super League next year. I'm hopeful that Crystal Palace can compete in the Super League and try to pick up points, because when you look this year,
it was tough for Bristol, who ends up being relegated out of it after just 1 year in. But for Crystal Palace, this is their first time getting into the Super League. Let's hope for big things.
Hope for big things. And I can see them bringing in other players as well to help elevate their team a lot so that they can compete in the WSL. WSL at times can be a league, like we talk about a lot of European leagues, where it's top four, top five that compete the entire season. I hope with this push and maybe some more players coming in and changes to the WSL, Emma Hayes leaving, a lot of shifts happening, it's just going to get more and more competitive. I hope this helps the WSL become similar to NWSL, where each week, who knows what's going to happen, who's going to win games, who's going to drop points. But I love this for them. Yeah. Shout out Crystal Palace.
And Crystal Palace's rise through the championship was actually pretty impressive, because it was just a few years ago that they were finishing bottom of the table, and now they've won. So the growth is already there for Crystal Palace. They just have to keep taking those steps forward. Hopefully they can get some bigger names in, some players that can be impact players on the roster.
I do wonder, in men's football, when there is this jump, the amount of money differentiation is a big problem, right? Although you're making the jump, you don't have the kind of money to make the signings you need to be really competing with the heavy hitters. I'm not sure how the financial comes into play here from championship to WSL. We'll have to get into that a little bit more in another episode when we do all of this research, but it just hit me that, you know, it's harder to compete when you do make that jump. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about the Women's Champions League when we come back. That second leg has already been completed. Who's headed to the finals?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Champions League final is set. Barcelona against Lyon, they're going to face off in a rematch of the 2022 final, where Lyon defeated Barcelona 3-1 to earn their record 8th Women's Champions League title. Let's go ahead and talk about the second leg of these ties, because we've covered everything on the first semifinal, right? We're going to go into the second leg now. Let's start with PSG and Lyon, because in order of chronologically, that was the latest one. And I got to say, Darian, Melchi Dumornay is a powerhouse. You were talking over the highlights right there, but one thing that you didn't mention is that Melchi, before her goal, she falls. She starts the play and she falls, and then she gets back up and she's the one that finishes it. And she has been the playmaker for this team across the two legs. How impressed have you been?
Incredibly impressed. And she's not always a starter for Lyon. She was playing out of position as well in that nine, because Hegerberg and Nussemer were both out with injury for this match. She looked like that has been her position from the jump. I like her in that false nine because she's so technical. She's not afraid to turn out in and out of pressure, dribble 10 yards back, and then turn and then start to play make. I love that for her. And her stats between the two games are just so impressive. She's been involved in almost every goal contribution for Lyon. She's very gritty. She set up assists. She was making everybody else look good. And you're right, even on that play, getting, excuse me, getting wiped out and getting up and playing that ball wide and then getting into the 18 is impressive. I love this for her. I can't wait to see more of her in the final, because she's going to be unstoppable.
Melchi Dumornay makes me a little emotional too, Darian. It's okay. We have tissues for you.
Sorry, sorry. She's getting choked up here. She's getting choked up.
But to Darian's point, Dumornay doesn't usually start. She has grown into this position for Lyon. Frankly, that's why I'm not at all surprised Lyon took this second leg and they're advancing to the final. They have so much depth. They have so much experience. They have so much maturity and composure in these matches, and it is so evident. Even when Chiwenga gets the goal, Lyon doesn't even look fazed by it. They dominated a lot of what was happening throughout this match. And the fact that the opening goal for Lyon came in the first 5 minutes off a short corner proved that they wanted to make a statement that they didn't get to make in the first leg, waiting until the 80th minute to then score three in the span of 6 minutes. But Lyon was like, no, we're not letting PSG think they're in this match. We're putting it away early on.
Well, Lyon continued to dominate this tie in the Champions League. They've played each other 12 times, and Lyon has won 8 of those. They've drawn 2, and PSG has only won 2 of those. So that just shows you that they just continue to show their dominance over PSG. But let's go over to the other semifinal. There was a little bit of controversy, so I wanted to wait so we could really talk about this one. Chelsea against Barcelona. There's plenty of comments to be made about the red card for Khadija Buchanan, first of all, and then obviously the penalty kick where Ashley Lawrence and Jess Carter knock into Aitana Bonmatí in that penalty area. We did hear from Christina Uncle about that on Morning Footy, but Lisa, I want to get your take on what you think of those fouls and whether they were incorrect.
Well, for Buchanan, in the span of 5 minutes to get two yellow cards is really rough. And that's what Emma Hayes was alluding to post-match for Chelsea, saying that it's unfair. However, with Christina Uncle chatting this morning on Morning Footy, she talked about how you can't necessarily take into account that it's a second yellow, so it's going to be a red. However, she talks about having 100% like completion that it is a foul. So when you look at Buchanan stepping on her foot in the second foul, she doesn't necessarily clomp on the top of her foot. She just gets a little toe of it. Is that necessarily deemed a yellow card? Not as much. But in the Champions League and in anything, you can't go to VAR and turn back a yellow card. You can
Which
only do that
ridiculous.
On a red card. And because it was a yellow, you have to look at it as a sole incident, as this is a yellow card in a match, not this is her second taking it to a red. That's not how you take it.
All right, so just yes or no, was it a red card for you? Yes or no, was it a red card? I mean, mind you, I know it's a second yellow, but is it a red card for you? So does she get the second yellow there?
Yeah, I think if she doesn't have the first one, she gets the second one. But I don't think the second foul is good enough to be a yellow.
Okay, so no.
Oh, yeah.
The second foul is not a yellow.
But it was a red card because she got the yellow, so you can't overturn the red.
I know they can't overturn it, but what I'm saying is, opinion-wise, was it a second yellow card for you, meaning the red card
is not?
Okay. You?
My issue is just with VAR not being able to overturn a yellow. I think that that's the dumbest rule alive. I don't understand why it's only with a red. Who makes these rules for VAR? I don't know. But I have to say, with Emma Hayes' comments after the match, knowing watching Barca, how in the first leg they said, it was a tricky game, they were fouling a lot, they're smart. They're going to come out and prey upon that. So they're going to go down any chance there's contact, especially around the 18. They're going to try to antagonize players a little bit and try to get those chippy fouls and take out critical players like Khadija Buchanan. And it worked in their favor. If you're Chelsea, you're knowing that. And especially with Emma Hayes, knowing that, in her opinion, this ref gives is very card happy. Then your players need to be aware of that.
Her quote before you get to that, because absolutely great point. This is what Emma Hayes said on Khadija Buchanan's red card. I was surprised when she was selected in reference to the referee that was selected. She's famous for easy cards, probably the worst decision in UEFA Women's Champions League history. So Darian, continue with her comments.
Yeah, I mean, if that's how you feel, in my opinion, you should be very wary going into this match that Barcelona is going to try and do that. Try to get your players to get cards, work on those chippy fouls, because they already said you were too aggressive in the first leg, you were fouling a lot, it was an unfair match, blah, blah, blah. I think strategically, you knew that that was going to happen. You have to be wary of it.
And although Emma Hayes is upset, whatever, she can say whatever she wants about it. To me, that's not what lost Chelsea this game.
Yeah,
they had opportunities. They had chances. They hit the post multiple times, and Barcelona took advantage of the opportunities they were given. This red card, although unfortunate for Chelsea to play down for 30 minutes, down a player, that's not what lost Chelsea this match.
Well, and I think Barcelona had a plan coming into this game to get a lot of fouls, to interrupt Chelsea's game, to play on their aggressiveness, and it just worked in their favor.
How much of a miss was Mayra Ramirez, Lisa?
Huge. The fact that Ramirez couldn't be a physical presence occupying space in the front line for Chelsea was a very big loss, because not only does she draw multiple defenders to her, which opens up her teammates around her, she's really physical on the ball in a clean way. She does a really good job of holding up play, of spinning defenders, of getting in behind and causing trouble. And Chelsea lacked that physicality and presence in their front line.
Oh, such a great shout there. I do want to make another mention for a player. Ashley Lawrence really did shut down Caroline Grant-Hanson on Barcelona's side. She kind of dominated the tie last year. So for Ashley Lawrence, I think she deserves a shout here, don't you think, Darian?
Yeah, she's definitely one of my favorite players for Chelsea. I think she's been really fantastic and has adapted to the game well. And when she's not on the pitch, it's very much noticed of how players have a little bit more freedom, that whoever they're playing against has more freedom to go down that side. She's been fantastic for Chelsea.
Well, again, that final is set. It's going to be Barcelona against Lyon. We are very much looking forward to this Champions League final. We'll see who wins that one. But right now, we're going to be talking about the NWSL. So stay with us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
NWSL weekend results. Washington Spirit lost to Orlando Pride that now has Barbara Banda. North Carolina Courage get another win against the struggling Seattle Reign. Houston Dash and Utah Royals, not too much action there. Zero goals on either end. Kansas City Current continue to win their games and score plenty of goals. Portland Thorns get a big win against Chicago Red Stars. Has that team turned it around? And San Diego Wade gets a win against Bay FC. 1-1 against Gotham and Racing Louisville. Let's go ahead and dive into some of these matches here because there is so much to cover. We're going to just pick some to really highlight. Let's go ahead and start with San Diego and Bay FC because, Darian, you were impressed with this California Clasico type of match here. What did you see?
It was nice to see San Diego come out and have a little bit of a fight to them. Previously, San Diego looked a little too comfortable in the league. I think they were playing teams and thinking that, I don't know, they looked like they had the air that they didn't have to try too hard. Well, you still do. It looked like a lot of mismatches. The runs weren't matching the passes and vice versa. Players were coming way too deep on the pitch. It didn't seem like they had that same hunger. Casey Stoney, we got to speak to her last week, and she said she was going to switch this lineup in a huge way, and we did. We saw these young players start. We saw Jaden Shaw, national team superstar, coming off of the bench, and she looked like she had a breath of fresh energy coming into the match. And I think it's nice when you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder when you're a set starter and then suddenly you're not starting this early in the season. You have to come out and prove a point as to why you are a starter and why you should be leading this team. And I think we saw a new resurgence of energy for San Diego, and they showed a little bit of their depth as well, which I love for this team. But I was really impressed with how they're finally able to turn things around and look like the OG San Diego that we know to be a real fighting team.
The difference from San Diego versus Orlando 2 weeks ago to versus Bay this week, they looked like entirely different teams.
They could connect some passes.
They could score goals. Yeah. San Diego was shut out their last two matches and not even creating anything viable in front of goal. They changed that in the opening 14 minutes, which set the tone for San Diego. They did it at home too. But they're against a Bay side that also scored goals. So now for Stoney and San Diego, they have to work defensively. How do they make sure they keep teams out of games? Because they have not done that at all this year.
One thing that you mentioned there that I think is very interesting, Darian, is what is the balance? What is the potential to lose a locker room as opposed to fire them up, right? You mentioned Casey Stoney making those changes and how important that is that the manager has a hold on that. But then where is the line? Like, yes, I'm fired up and, you know, you replaced me and I'm going to come in, I'm going to score goals and show you that I deserve to be on the starting lineup versus you've lost a locker room. How dare you put a 16-year-old up in front of me? You know,
well, I think with Casey Stoney, this shows why she's such a brilliant coach, why she's the manager that she is, why she has these opportunities, because when you're able to balance a locker room like that and you make it about accountability as to why we're not winning, why we're not scoring, she took some credit as to maybe I didn't come into the best system against Orlando, and that's part of it. But even with that, she's not the one on the field performing. She's not the one that's able to fight and actually physically show what they're doing and connect passes. So I think her doing that and saying, you know what, if you're not going to do it, these other players are hungry on the bench, ready to do it, and they proved that. It's just going to make everybody up their game, up the level. I like this for San Diego. It's happening this early because that's really scary if that's their second team or typical bench starters that are now in the game.
That's terrifying
to go against.
Okay, Lisa, we added in Barbara Banda to this Orlando Pride side, and we're so excited. What did I say? Hat trick of goal contributions. That's what I was trying to get out, but I couldn't get out.
I got you.
Guys,
don't worry.
Thank you. And while things are working on the attacking end, now we have to address that the goals that they gave away against Washington Spirit, there were some goalkeeper mistakes, Lisa.
Yes, there were some mistakes with the goalkeeping position. I mean, when you look at Orlando's roster, Seb Hines has really brought in players attacking-wise in the midfield throughout the entirety of the 10 field players that can dominate and win games. And Orlando, they've stayed undefeated this season. However, they should have better goals against average. Some of the goals that Morehouse has conceded are savable. They are. And when you look across the NWSL, some teams have one starting goalkeeper and then a 1.5 or a 1AB goalkeeper because their second string keeper is good enough to start. I think that talent drops off at Orlando with their goalkeeping position. This is an opportunity where they could be winning games instead of drawing them or conceding less goals.
Which later in the season may become massive because they did win this game, but
it makes a huge difference. And in the NWSL, you can't have superstars do all the heavy lifting for you. Yeah. Barbara Branda is going to lift Orlando on the offensive end of things, but if they continue to leak goals, it's going to be their Achilles heel through later months of the season.
All right, Darian, I want to touch on one more thing here because NWSL, there's so much to cover, but let's talk about the teams that need to step up, right? Utah and Houston, I said there was a goalless game, and we're not really going to talk about it that much because there wasn't that much. But there are some teams that we expect more from. Who are those teams, and they haven't been showing up?
Yeah, it's Orlando and Houston, Utah and Houston, in my opinion. That's why we didn't have any highlights for them. It's unfortunate because these teams, if I were a player on these teams, I'd be so distraught going into games thinking, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Are we going to tie? It seems like everyone's kind of on their own island trying their best to figure out the system, how they're going to score goals, how are they defending. Yeah. It's just a lot of questions that I'm shocked that they're still not answered at this point in the season with how poor both of these teams are performing. You can see the players' body language and how deflated both of these teams look. They both need to step it up. I don't know what that change quite is yet, but I hope that they get better for the players' sake.
It's interesting. Both of these sides have new coaches in the NWSL, which I think can be something. It's a big adjustment. But hey, look at Racing Louisville. Look at Washington Spirit. They have new coaches too. They're doing fine.
Yeah, they've had enough time to make adjustments because we've seen the same thing from both of these teams week in, week out.
Yeah, beautifully said there. I know we don't have enough time to touch into it, but we will get a little bit deeper into both of these teams a little bit later in the week. The NWSL is back in action on Wednesday with a handful of games, and you can tune in to CBS Sportsnet to watch these beautiful ladies at 10 p.m. when Bay FC take on the Portland Thorns, and Women's Super League is coming to a close. So that's what's coming next.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Attacking Third, brought to you by CarMax, the way car buying should be. This is the time for Sandra Herrera to join us, CBS Sports Network reporter. And this is a look at our power rankings after match day 6. North Carolina Courage, Kansas City Current, Orlando Pride, Washington Spirit, and San Diego Wave are in her top 5. We'll be talking about what moved up and down as well. But Sandra, let's bring you in because I got some questions, okay? I want to talk about this. We have questions when we see these power rankings, okay? A little bit of my sass is coming out because Gotham did a lot of movements in the offseason. They're currently 8th in your power rankings right now. Things are not going great for them. But what we felt is that there's a lot of gritty players that were let go in this summer window. And then they brought in all these new players, these new national team players, and potentially, you know, kind of changed the locker room dynamics, kind of changed what was happening on the chemistry level. How did you recalibrate things for Gotham now?
I think we started to see it a little bit. Sure, they dropped in the rankings this week, but it's not without silver linings. I like some of the adjustments that we saw this week by the coaching staff. Who isn't here for Crystal Dunn on that attacking line? I know I am. And we got to see the debut of Roosevelt. So these are some of those silver linings, and we're starting to see increased minutes for Lynn Williams as well. But we didn't really see this team kind of come to life up until the stoppage time moments of this game. And that's where I think there's a lot of question marks. I think there's a little bit of a, I don't know if it's lackluster play or if it's just the constant rotation, because this team does have a bit of an injury carousel at the moment. And Juan Carlos Amoros has said on record that that's been difficult for this team to deal with, that they're trying to find ways to manage that moving forward. So I think when you have maybe a choppy preseason and then you also have injuries to key players, that forces you to continuously make adjustment. Has there actually been a phase of time here for this team to kind of really come together collectively and put those pieces together. So while they're not necessarily losing a ton of games, they are winless in their last four. We got to see some more. Maybe these recent adjustments, that spark of life that we saw to close out the game this week, will be the key moving forward.
Sandra, I completely agree. It's hard to have consistency and implement a real game plan, especially in the attack when it switches up so much because you have injuries. But good to see Rose Lavelle on the score sheet and made this world of a difference when she came into the match. Chicago, on the other hand, struggle game, my word. Body language of Mal Swanson was pretty bad during the match. Nothing was really lining up, especially against Portland, who now look like the OG Portland. What went wrong for Chicago? Was it just we ran out of ideas or players weren't connecting? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think we're starting to see this next phase of the season come to life. I think we've got every single club that has played at least five games in this opening 6 weeks of the NWSL. And while it's still maybe too early to say if this was their worst performance, I will say it was probably not their best over the course of their previous six games. I didn't like that we saw the recipe here for Chicago kind of not really working out for them. And I think that is going to be the thing that they need to work on moving forward. Head coach Lauren Donaldson has been pretty adamant that they want to have a competitive environment. They want to bring back the fun for this franchise, and you know, in terms of what they're putting together on the pitch. And we're watching them kind of build defensively and then kind of want to go ahead and build out on their counters. But this is also a little bit of a recipe that's showing us that it's maybe not going to get a lot of touches for Mal Swanson. And for me, that's the opposite of a winning recipe. She was right to be a little frustrated going up against Portland Thorns because she wasn't getting the ball. When you have that star caliber of a player, you have got to get her the ball. So they absolutely had to drop this week for me in the power rankings.
I was frustrated watching Mal Swanson not get the ball. I can't imagine being her on the pitch for Chicago in that match. All right, Sandra, let's talk about Bay FC, because in your power rankings from last week to this week, they did not move. They are stuck at 12th. However, they can score goals. They're just one of three teams to score goals in every single match with 10. They have a quick turnaround before a midweek match this Wednesday. What do you need to see from Bay to step things up?
I know. I think of the two expansion franchise, I think all of us kind of maybe still have a little bit of breath of hope for this one to continue to maybe shake things up along the way. And I think that's because they've shown their ability to make adjustments along the way. Their internationals are still providing a lot of exciting moments. We still see Asia Oswala getting on the score sheet for them, but they are going to be without Alex Loera for the remainder of the season with an ACL injury. And I think there were some question marks around who was going to step up. And we've seen Tess Bodhi put together some really, really good extended minutes for this team, and I'm hopeful that maybe she's going to continue to sort of be some of that catalyst in that middle third for the team. But I think we saw head coach Albertine Montoya kind of express a little bit of body language of his own with his team coming out of this week, kind of saying like, listen, this is it. This is who we are. You got to get it together. We got to pull it together because this is who we are moving forward. So maybe there's going to finally be a match here for Bay FC where we see them put together a clinical 90 minutes to go ahead and get some wins.
Well, Bay going against Kansas City, then San Diego, and now they take on Portland this week. It's tough, kind of back-to-back matches for them. You mentioned Tess Bodhi. She's playing out of position, though, lower in the midfield. She prefers to be higher up the pitch. Questions for Bay, for sure.
Beautiful. Sandra, so great to have you on. Thank you, Lisa. We're going to be talking about the WSL because there was action in the title race. It's coming to a close. Chelsea against Manchester City. We'll be covering that next.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Welcome back into Attacking Third. It is time to talk about the WSL title race. Manchester City right now, 52 points, but they have two more games to go. Chelsea, four more games to go in second place right now, 46 points. So as we look at that table, there is the big question. Who is going to win this title race? Okay, Lisa, I'm going to you because you're giving me eye contact and Darian is not scared.
I was looking right at you.
I was giving me eye contact. When you talk about those stats, you talk about these numbers and the fact that there's four games left for one, two games left for another.
Yeah.
Who's taking it?
Manchester City. They have been dominant throughout this season. Their ability to score goals in a variety of ways makes them unstoppable. And then when you look at kind of the matches that are to come for both of these sides, Manchester City, they have it at this point. They play against Arsenal and then they play against Aston Villa. They just need to continue scoring goals because if it comes down to a tie at the end of the year, the tiebreaker is goal differential. And without Bunny Shaw, that makes it a bit more questionable for Manchester City. However, City's going to take it. They're going to win. Poor Emma Hayes, right? I mean, well, for me. She didn't win the Champions League. She's not going to win this.
Lisa,
I don't know.
Lisa,
what do you think,
Dee?
I'm with you. I think City just has it. Even with Bunny Shaw out, they have Lauren Hemp, they have Chloe Kelly, Mary Fowler.
Lauren Hemp's important.
Lauren Hemp's very important. I know we're going to get into it. She's very important. but I don't know how you stop them. Chelsea have a few more difficult games than Manchester City has, in my opinion. Man City plays Arsenal, who I think they're going to beat, and Aston Villa, I also think that they're going to beat and score some goals against. And Chelsea has a bit of more of a difficult road. Liverpool, who can kind of challenge teams at times, Bristol City, Tottenham, Man United, and everyone's wanting to have their best game against Chelsea. This is a team with a big target on their back. Emma Hayes has won this so many times. They know that she's leaving. If I were an opponent of Chelsea, I would be using that as my motivation to go out and have my best game against them. I think that Man City has it in the bag.
Okay, I do want to mention, because there might be some Arsenal fans that come and say, what are you talking about? Why are you not talking about us? After Arsenal's draw, they can play spoiler, but they likely will not win the league. I just want to make that clear. Not saying that they won't, but they probably won't, likely. Okay,
if they won last week, things would have changed.
Yes, but they would have been in this conversation, but that draw does hurt them quite a bit. We now move on to who will win league MVP. I go first because I get to choose who goes first, and I like it. for me, it's Bunny Shaw. She leads the Golden Boot race with 21 goals. That leads it by an absolute country mile, and there is no more to say there because her play speaks for herself. Lisa, who is your league MVP?
I am sticking with Manchester City, but I'm going to go with Lauren Hemp. 9 goals, 7 assists. She leads the Super League in her assists, and it's not just about goals, and it's not just about goal contribution. Lauren Hemp changes the game when she is on the pitch because she can provide support for her teammates in such a variety of ways, whether it's out wide, she goes 1v1, she gets in line and sends crosses in, she dribbles laterally, she gets shots on goal. Her ability to combine so well with the players around her makes her an MVP caliber player that Manchester City without her looks different.
Lisa was giving me a hard time earlier because I said, how did we not all pick Bunny Shaw? Who picked Lauren Hemp?
Me, I did.
I don't disagree. Lauren Hemp's an amazing player. Do I think she's league MVP over Bunny Shaw? Absolutely not. Bunny Shaw, to me, have 21 goals, 3 assists on the season, and there were still games to go. Unfortunately, she just got injured. She also did this in the French League with Bordeaux.
Yeah, but MVP is not just about scoring goals.
I know it's not just about scoring goals. She sets up assists. She's integral in their buildup. I think she's such a threat. How many players? Lauren Hemp and these other players are so free because Bunny Shaw draws in so many defenders, in my opinion. She is league MVP. She's MVP of the world right now. I think she's one of the best players.
MVP of the world?
Yeah.
MVP of the world. Wow.
That's a new one. We're going to be awarded
write that
MVP
down. Somebody
of
write
the
that
world.
Down.
In all of our seasons from now on. All right. Signing of the season. I know we're not at the end of the season yet, but these are conversations that we need to have right about now. Lisa, take us through who your signing of the season.
My signing of the season is Myra Ramirez.
Lauren Hemp.
Lauren Hemp, actually. Her contract extension this year. It is. No. I'm going with Chelsea's Myra Ramirez, the Colombian international. When she was signed in January, it was at the time the world's most expensive women's contract, over €500,000 for Ramirez. And I don't think the signing necessarily panned out until the end of the season, when it was like, wow, Chelsea without her would have been a different team. Yeah. They lost Sam Kerr. There was a different element for this side. Exactly that. Ramirez really took on the brunt work of the attacking end for Chelsea, and they needed her.
I like that. It's a really good shout, Myra Ramirez. I was debating between her, but I ultimately went for Chelsea as well with Ashley Lawrence. We talked about her in an earlier segment, but to me, she's been massive for Chelsea. She doesn't always get the credit I think that's deserved because she does a lot of the dirty work. She's always in tackles. She's in right spaces, plugging holes. She has 1 goal in WSL, 1 assist in the Champions League, but she shut down Caroline Graham Hansen. If Caroline Graham Hansen was able to be more of a playmaker with Barcelona, it would have been a completely different game without Ashley Lawrence. And she's beat out Eve Parise in that position, a star French international player. It's for me, she makes every single team better when she's on them. She did the same for PSG, but that's why she's the best signing for me.
Well, we talked about Manchester City, we talked about Chelsea, and everyone picked their players from there. So I wanted to say that I picked a Tottenham player in Martha Thomas.
Good show.
Yeah, like seven goals, two assists for her. So beautifully done. I know they're only in sixth place, but the fact that she came in, she absolutely made a difference for that team. Well, that's it for today, guys. We'll be in studio on Thursday at 10 p.m. Lisa and Sandra are going to be live on Wednesday on YouTube. And don't forget to tune in to CBS Sportsnet also on Wednesday at 10 p.m. when Bay FC take on Portland Thorns. Thanks for joining us here on Attack and Third, brought to you by CarMax. The way car buying should be. Adios.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.